Ladies and gentlemen, please stay seated for the five-star podcast on Three Red Kings. Introducing your host, the Eggman, the cult leader of the Secret Club, and the best in the world, Tom Savage. It's the final
countdown. Hello, welcome. Thank you very much for joining me on this podcast. A quick one. Looking over this game, as I have done now a couple of times, I've actually got an article coming on it this week, on top of an article about Jack Crowley. I was just looking at, and I did my due diligence too, by the way, how radically different a performance this was from Munster. I went over it on the Wally ratings, which I published yesterday. They came out on Sunday. So do have a read of those if you haven't read them already. And it was a remarkably different performance by Munster. And part of that was circumstances. We avoided the problem that normally presents itself around this time of year. Certainly did last year when we had, right before that game against Glasgow, we had 3 weeks off of no rugby. This week, for this game, it was 3 weeks almost to the day that between that and the last game of rugby that we played. So this Munster team we have seen, they obviously need to bank the rest and the recovery for guys who are hurt. And who are recovering from those many, many injuries that we have had and still do to an extent. But the time that we aren't playing games, when we aren't doing that match prep, immediate game prep, you know, day before the game, the game itself, the review of the game, and then the run into next week, a lot of what we do can degrade. A lot of what we do can go backwards. We've seen that repeatedly. And Munster have actually spoken about this directly. I spoke about it with Graham Rowntree last week on the presser, where they spoke about banking game time and making sure that when you're going through a period like this where there's long stretches without a game, you try to keep your match sharpness as much as possible. And with the way that Munster play, we are really vulnerable to when our match sharpness goes down, our likelihood of poor performances and, you know, sticky games turning into losses increases. We've seen that last year. This year, we went a different way. Now, earlier in the Six Nations window, we played two friendlies during that time, which, again, I think it puts more game sharpness in the bank, those two games, because, again, without those, you would have been looking at another 3 weeks between, the Scarlets game and the last game we played in January, which was the Northampton game. There would have been 3 full weeks between that for an away game. Difficult as it was, 13 days. Then with the friendly against Harlequins, what would have been a 2 week break before Zebre turned into an 8 day break. We know that this Munster team play better when they play often, and 3 weeks off sounds like, look, and it is good. Look, it is good, but it's also dangerous. It's also a recipe for janky performances, of which we have seen from this team when they have had that time off. Was it a case that Munster planned their approach to this game to remove the issues that come with a 3 week layoff? Maybe. But they definitely did it because they were quite wary of Ospreys and the way that the Ospreys play. Ospreys are a fairly high kick volume counter transition team, almost to the point where they play long stretches off ball. What Munster did in this game was, as an on-ball team usually, was to completely strip back that part of the game, to the point where it we looked like we were basically just kicking the ball every other phase. We went through one large sequence of phases that led to the bonus point try. Everything else was a counterpunch, where we were upping the ball in playtime, where we were choosing to kick infield constantly, again, for that ball in playtime, but to make the Ospreys the on-ball team in this game. And I spoke before the game about what their tendencies were, about how they don't really offload all that much, how they kick really frequently, how their general tendency is to kick, you know, when you look at that passes per kick metric, that they would, you know, around 4 to 5 passes for every kick that they make. In this game, it was 9.5 passes for every kick, which is massive, which is massive. Like their pass per carry ratio is pretty high as well, because they do like to play on the counterattack quite a bit. So you would expect that their pass per carry rate would be high in that instance, because you force a turnover or you win the ball back, you want to try and get that ball to the edges. So you pass, and you get to that area of the field. In this game, though, the Ospreys' pass per carry was wildly out of sync with what it had been in the previous 4 or 5 games. Like, it was up around 1.57, which is big. When you combine that with the amount of on-ball rugby they played relative to their kicks, all of a sudden they were playing in a way that they haven't played all year. So what did you see? Passes bouncing off guys' heads, knock-ons, turnovers, intercepts. All those things happen when a team who doesn't play with possession decides that they're going to, or are forced into a position where they have to play with possession. And that's what Munster did here. Munster forced the Ospreys off their game. They had 14 turnovers. We won 3 turnovers. Ospreys had 14 turnovers in a game, which is massive. Now, we had 11, which shows that some of the inefficiencies that we had, and honestly, it means that we were dead right to play the game that we did. Because even though we had, we had 81 carries compared to their 145, we had 6 line breaks compared to their 7. So what this game represented for me was Munster appreciating the differences that we want to accentuate this season compared to last, prepping for a team where we knew we would be coming in cold, with guys coming back in from the test arena who are coming in cold, colder even, and managed a game plan that was wildly different from what we've done previously this season, and came out with a bonus point win. That can't be underestimated or undersold as to how important that is this week, because as we saw over the weekend, everything worked out for us when it came to the results that we wanted to happening, bar, you know, the Bulls losing, which would have been, you know, again, a shot to nothing to try and predict that. But as it stands, we're in fourth. We are 4 points clear of the Stormers in fifth. They are on 35 points. And then there's daylight between Edinburgh and Ulster, who also have to play another game in South Africa. Ulster are playing the Stormers. So one of those teams is going to lose. Either way, that's good for us. Edinburgh are playing the Sharks, which again, Sharks look managed to get their second win of the season at the weekend. Edinburgh will be under the pump there as well. It is not out of the question, but that by the time we get prepped for going down to South Africa after the European Cup break, that we could be in position to have fourth more or less nailed down, that we only need 2, maybe 6 or 7 points in the last 4 games to just really nail down that fourth spot. And if results go our way, third is not out of the question either, because you look at Glasgow are playing the Scarlets left. But to be fair, I think with Glasgow, they're more in danger of catching the Bulls than what they are dropping down, because again, I think that they're due to play Zebre twice in the next while. So like, they've got a game against the Sharks at home that they should win. They have a game away to Zebre that they should win. They have a game away to the Bulls that they probably will lose, and another game away to the Lions that they could lose, but I would expect them to stay in that top four. We, though, can nail down that spot either third or fourth, with depending on how our games go, but we're in pole position. And we're in a good place. And that comes from our performances over this block of games. 15 points from three games. We've got Cardiff coming up this Friday. That's all set up to be a massive game for us, because if we can get another bonus point there, that would leave us on 44 points. Depending on how the Stormers go, again, I'd be rooting for Ulster in that game, because again, if Ulster can win that game with just a regular bonus point, or a regular win rather, no bonus point, that puts a lot of daylight between us in the top four, and we can just start consolidating that spot, get ourselves a home quarter final, and work away from there. And again, I think that you just look at this performance, and I'm just going to go into some of the Wally ratings there now, of the individual players. But that performance, a mature, efficient performance, it puts you in position to earn that win, and to earn, again, without necessarily burning the candle at both ends. Like, Ospreys would have been the ones coming off that field more tired, more fucked up, for me. Like, the pitch was greasy coming in. Now, I'm not saying I predicted this. I didn't. I predicted the exact opposite, actually, where that I felt that Munster, with the weather conditions being good and with the team that we'd selected, that we could play our on-ball game as usual, and that the selection of, we'll say, Hodnett and Kendellin in particular, or Kendellin, that was a specific nod to the fact that Ospreys will kick the ball to us a lot, so we will need a small forward build back five that we can resource those rucks really well, especially in a situation where we knew coming in that Alex Nankivell wouldn't be available for this game. But it was the opposite. We selected those particular flankers to start because, one, they're fit and available, which is a bonus, but they're two really good defenders, high volume defenders, chop tacklers, guys who can get in there and make a real impact defensively, and they did so. Like, defensively, when the stats all shook out, John Hodnett has 19, Kendellin did have 20, but they've downgraded that since. Gavin Coombs has 18, Kendellin has 18, Snaiman has 14, Niall Scanlon has 13, Craig Casey has 11, Thomas O'Hearn has 12. A massive shift by our back row defensively. They were a brick wall all day for the Ospreys. Like, most of their game was played in our 50 to 22 area. We only played 17% of our game in their area, in that kind of, we'll say, that launching pad. We held them really well there. So they had a lot of passing, they had a lot of carries, a lot of possession, but it didn't really matter. We put them into a very uncomfortable position, which is, you normally play on the counter-attack, but we're going to just make sure that you have to go through your phase play structures. And it looked basic. Like, they ended up scoring 3 tries. I mean, it should have been 4 tries. We'll be a little bit frustrated with how those came about. And part of it came down to, in that second quarter where they scored their first try, we could not get out of our half at all, primarily because of the scrummaging of Nicky Smith, who was an absolute nightmare for us on both sides of the put in. So that we'll be frustrated with how that went out. But again, I've had a lot of people asking since the TRK radio episode, like, you know, is that an issue with our scrum coaching or the personnel? I think it is to do with personnel, but it's more to do with Nicky Smith. Like, he does that to a lot of different props. He's difficult to scrummage against. Now, you can say, look, it's not all on John Ryan either. And, like, part of it was less than excellent scrummaging from Josh Richerly, from what I saw. He came off the field pretty quickly, actually. Yeah, it's like, it's not necessarily, there's not much you can do about a guy like that. It's a bit like, well, how do you handle Oxenche? You saw what he did. Well, if you didn't watch the Ulster and Sharks game at the weekend, look at how fucking effective Oxenche was off the bench. He's 5'8". He is built like a coffee table. He's just, again, impossible to scrummage against. Nicky Smith has a lot of the same qualities. But yeah, I'll just go through some of the Wally ratings and give you some of my thoughts on the players as I go down through the list. Number one, Josh Richardy. I gave him a 2-star rating for this game. In part because I felt that, one, I wanted more violence out of him, in that right before the halftime break, there was John Ryan got turned over more or less on the try line. I saw Josh Richardy looking to adjust his position and coming in with a technical clean out. That was one of those instances where I don't care if you concede a penalty for flying off your feet. Blow that guy away. Nuke that breakdown. And Josh looked to be going for a kind of a technical lift of the arms to get the hands off the ball technically. I want to see more physicality from him. And the thing is, I've seen people say, oh, well, look, he lacks aggression at the breakdown. It's not that. I've seen him being quite aggressive at the breakdown. Certainly against Leinster last year in that semi-final, he had some really impressive ruck entries that are there. I just feel that we need to see, and this is a tricky balancing point, between more size, but then more athleticism, and then more brutishness in those moments. And that for me is a work on for Josh Richardy, who I think he's at a point where, you know, Jeremy Lachman, I think, is the number one guy, who I didn't think played necessarily all that well off the bench either. Where that's an area where I think Munster need to bring somebody in, I think. We have good young talent that's developing there as well. That's maybe 2 years out, 3 years out. But there's somebody we could do with signing some guy there, because I just feel that from a power perspective and an aggression perspective, I feel sometimes that we could do it more there. And I gave Josh 2 stars here because I just felt he got into a little bit of trouble at the scrum with the Ospreys, which is no shame in it. They were a really good pack. And again, it feels unfair because I'm asking for him to be bigger, heavier, more athletic, more brutish at the breakdown, more brutish in the scrum. And it's like, he can't do that by next week. This is a thing, maybe a huge preseason coming up for him, I think, where he, because again, I think he's off contract at the end of next season. This is a big preseason for him, where needs to have that development, because he's 25, and look, which is young in propping terms. And he's obviously sharp, because he had a really good moment there where ball is plainly out of the ruck. He gets in, steals the ball, and drives on. It's kind of asking almost the impossible. Just become a heavier, more athletic player who's better in the scrum than what you currently are, but also a power carrier around the field and a big breakdown, offensive breakdown guy. It's like, yeah, like if it was that easy, everybody would be that. And I understand that. I just feel that he's got a big preseason coming up, because at the moment, not fully sold on physically where he's at the moment. Niall Scanlon, I gave 4 stars. I thought he played really well. Niall Scanlon in this team has found a really good role set where he does carry the ball quite a bit, actually. My issue with him is being a primary ball carrier. I would be kind of more happy with him being a, because he's down here for 8 carries, which would be the second most amount of carries of anybody in the squad. More than Gavin Coombs, more than John Hodnett, and the same as Joey Carberry, who has 8. I don't have a problem with those, though, because they are platform carries. We're not looking for him to be a carrying focal point for us, other than the tap and no, which every team now is buying. Because you know what? We have the highest rate of conversion of those 5-meter taps of any team in the URC this year. Doesn't seem like it's true, but it is. And with the 5-meter tap and no, what Niall Scanlon is very good at doing is buying cheap plastic dominant tackles out of the opposition forwards, who are all thinking, everybody stops this guy. We're going to stop him too. But then they take 3 of their own guys out and the ball is recycled and they are shorthanded for the next one. And Gavin Coombs scores from close range. But that's the value of having a guy who knows his role. And, you know, knowing your role is not like, oh, know your place. It's about understanding what you're best at and doubling down on that. And not trying to become Dan Sheehan when you aren't Dan Sheehan. Niall Scannell understands that he is a set-piece hooker. He said this himself in the press conference last week. He understands that the value he brings is by rock-solid line-out, rock-solid scrum. And our scrum and line-out are unmistakably better with him on the field. There's not all... In the scrum, look, the hooker has a role to play. Props play a more important role, to be fair. But line-out-wise, he was so good here. Now, the Ospreys tend not to compete, and they didn't here either. But what Niall Scannell gives you is a solid set piece, and that is absolutely valuable. It's a, you know, again, I think he went 100% here, I think, at the lineout. Yeah, on our six lineouts, because it was one of those games. We were just very solid, and Niall Scannell is that epitome of solidity. And, like, again, that kind of goes, you know, solidity. There's nothing wrong with that either. And I will also say that Josh Richardy, from a defensive perspective, just to go back again, he did play well defensively. It's just that I feel that there's other sides of his game that need to get up to that next level, because we don't play like this every week. So I just wanted to make that clear, because I felt like I was just damning him there, but like he is down for a lot of really good tackles. So I wanted to highlight that as well. But yeah, Niall Scannell, really good player, and I think that he's going to grow in importance as this season goes. Because again, look, people have been asking me, like, oh, should why aren't Munster signing a hooker this season? As far as I'm aware, we're not signing a hooker for next year. We have Scott Buckley in a one-year deal as a kind of a we'll see how you go deal. We have Dermot Barron, who's obviously a very important player for us, but he's currently injured. Owen Clark, who was really impressed, he's on a one-year deal as well, with Niall Scannell out of contract again next season. So maybe we might look next season as making a change for the year after, maybe. But for now, for next season, if there's no big power hooker out there available, I don't think it's right to downscale Barron or Scannell, because they both offer an awful lot. I think that there is scope to add the power we need on the loosehead side of the scrum. Loosehead jersey, we'll say, is that's where I'd look to try and add it, to look for a big, powerful ball carrier there, to add that different profile. But I think for now, maybe we look for power hooker in year four of this coaching group. For year three, I'm pretty happy with Scannell and Barron, to be honest, because I think that they are, they both offer something that's quite valuable. And I think when you see other hookers all over the game not being able to hit their jumpers or being washouts in the scrum, you see the value of having guys who they don't necessarily run over everybody who they carry against, but what they do bring is solidity, and that's very valuable. John Ryan, thought he had an okay game. He did get caught very badly by Nicky Smith, but I thought he offered a lot around the field defensively and at the breakdown, so I gave him 3 stars. Second row, we played really, really well. RG Stamen, I gave 5 stars too, because he was crushing guys in defence. Just physically overwhelming fellas. His line-out work is very sharp as well, lifting and jumping. But offensively, he is a unicorn. There is absolutely nobody who plays the game like RG Snaiman. Imagine if Leone Nakawara, at his peak, was 6'10" and 130 kg. You've got something close to what RG Snaiman brings. He's still getting back to full fitness, I think. But you saw here, like, he scored a try that he really had no right to score. Shane Daly with a lovely latch and drive. But the offloads he throws, the defenders he compresses automatically, upscales Munster attack to different levels. Like, the offloads he's capable of throwing, nobody in the game can throw those. And where he throws them and how he does it. It seems like his arms grow another meter or two, and he's able to just fling that ball around a corner that you didn't even know was there. Like, outstanding performance. And one of those ones where you go, like, you look at him and go, fuck it, we're going to miss that guy next season. That's true, but next season is a long way away. This guy has unfinished business here, and I hope he does finish it lifting a trophy or two. Tom Ahern, right next to him, I felt he was really good here as well. Not the same kind of fireworks offensively. And I think as well our game plan meant that there wasn't a whole lot of him as an edge forward where I think that he's a potential game changer. But in the tighter second row role, he showed that he is an absolute menace defensively. He's got long reach. He uses that to get after guys at the breakdown. He was constantly slowing down their ball, but not exposing himself to those jackal opportunities that hurt you. He was just really, really effective and aggressive at the breakdown. And like line out time, we didn't really contest at all because I felt that our game plan, we knew that we would be defending a whole lot of line outs, so there's no point burning yourself out. His maul defense, John Ryan as well was very good here, but Tom O'Hearn's maul defense is fantastic. His ability to just get through gaps he has no right getting through. He is the Slim Reaper, and he showed that here again in a different way. Great performance, very exciting player him. Back row, I think I've been over it. I could say more or less the same thing for all of them in that they were defensively oppressive in this game. Hodnett and Kendallin were getting absolutely buried into guys. Hodnett had a ton of dominant tackles. Kendallin was fucking guys up at the breakdown and on counter ruck as well. Looked really physical, both of them guys. Gavin Coombs as well offered a lot of just solid defense. Not the sort of the big ball carrying that we're used to. This has probably seemed, felt like a day off for him. He had 6 ball carries. Right? He was one of the top tacklers, but like as in his game was quite a bit different from the usual Gavin Coombs show that we know. But they played really well. Physically, really oppressed the Ospreys in defense, and they were everywhere. Like, I mean, it seemed like there were 2 John Hodnets out there. Which again would be cheating if it were through. I hope it's not. The idea of cheating. Okay, Craig Casey and Joey Carberry, halfback, solid games. Craig Casey coming back from Ireland camp. It's always tough to go from one environment where you've been for a number of weeks and come back into a new one. You don't really know what they've been doing. You haven't been there with the training reps. Especially as a scrum half, it's a tough one to come back into. I felt some of Craig's passing was below the normal level, but the ones that stuck, like the pass he made for Munster's first try for Shane Daly, was one of the best you'll see all game, or all game, all week. He found a pass to Rory Scannell that was 25 meters in length. So accurate, so quick, undefendable. And he chopped out multiple defenders with that. That kind of pass quality, Craig Casey has that in his locker. And once he gets back into the rhythm with this team, he'll show why he is the starter for this team. And his kicking was good. Saw a few guys complaining about his kicking in this game. The whole point was to kick it to the Ospreys. We were looking to do that. That was deliberate. A deliberate plan coming into this game. It was a plan to make sure that the Ospreys would attack more. We wanted them to do that. We backed our defense to shut them down. And they did, for the most part. So, Carberry, I felt, had a decent game. Nailed the kicks he needed to nail. Just again, looked fairly, he defended a fullback for us as well on those 14 and 1 defensive presses, which is good. He's like, that's a good spot for him defensively. But yeah, floated around well, made some good interventions, a decent performance. Like his end, and when you look at it and you go, I had no issues whatsoever with his performance, which again is like, oh, well, why would you? But I thought he played well. That's what I'm trying to say. Midfield, Scannell and Frisch did okay. Again, defensively, there wasn't much they were doing offensively there, but what they did do looked good. Daly played well. Like, I just feel at the moment that there's a bit of role flux there, I feel, where he's plainly a great player. And he's been, like, he scored a try here as well. He's got a lot of line breaks from Munster this year. I think he's number one at the club for line breaks, actually. I just keep feeling like I want more from him. And that's not fair either. Where it's like he's been a really valuable guy for Munster in the last season and this season. It's just I feel that maybe he needs a bit more confidence in the game that he brings. But yeah, I thought he played well. And it's like I'm like, is it one of those things where, yeah, a solid 3-star performance, but it's like I'm looking for the next stage from him. You know, to kick on to that next level again. Because I feel Shane Daly at his best is in the Ireland conversation. At the moment, he's not. So I feel he has more levels to go to, is what my point is. Mike Haley, I gave a 4-star performance to because he's just very, very solid. And mainly because he absolutely melted some guy in a line break on a really great tackle that was just like, bang, that's what we want to see. from your fullback. Mike Haley smashes guys in defence. That's what he does. So yeah, gave him a 4-star performance. Sean O'Brien, 5-star performance. 2 tries, both of which I don't know whether he had any right scoring really, because one of them was getting chased back by Keelan Giles on an intercept. And I'm not sure if Sean O'Brien has this kind of weird effect around him where he makes quick guys look really slow, because I don't have him down as being a super quick winger. But there he was outrunning Keelan Giles, and then right at the end when it seemed like he was going to get caught, just kind of pushed himself off Keelan Giles to just stumble over the try line. Very relatable, but very, very good. And then his second one was the most remarkable, weird try you'll ever see, where he got another intercept, kicked this sort of ball, kicked the ball downfield that was like, well, that's going to go out. But then it just sort of kind of dangled along the line where at any point that just takes any wrong little scuff off the grass and it's in touch. And it's a great kick. You're thinking, well done, Sean. But it just stayed in touch. The fullback, the Ospreys fullback, had a chance to wreck him in the tackle. Sean O'Brien would not be wrecked. Kept running, kicked it through, kind of hobbled and bounced off it, where you're just like, well, that's going to hop off his hand. That's going to be a knock on, or it's going to go right out of play. Then was it Kieran Williams or Owen Williams came in and tried to fly hack the ball away while it was in goal. And Sean O'Brien charged it down while he was getting up and then just dotted the ball down for the try of the season. It was very good. But yeah, I gave him 5 stars because 2 huge moments for us that allowed our game plan to work. And they were down to his read of things in defense, because we were very aggressive defensively. Like when we kicked to them, it was in our half of the field. Like we gave them that to work with because we wanted to be right there where they didn't get a whole big, huge transition run up. We kicked relatively mid distance and back to defense, and we pressed them. We said to them, kick the ball. We'll retain the line out, but you kick it if you want. And they went through the phases, and they did well at times. They, Williams in particular, their 10, thought he played fantastically, did really well. Giles did well. Cuthbert did great up until he got taken out by the hamstring sniper on his way to their 4th try, which would have been a 2-point return for them, which, to be fair, they deserved, I felt. But that's just unfortunate. I hate seeing fellas getting injured like that, you know. Good player. But yeah, like I think a lot of that comes back to we forced them off scheme, but Sean O'Brien's direct interventions allowed us to play that more successfully and to play that conservative game, which again worked completely in our favour. Gave Owen Clark and Jeremy Lockman 2 stars each. I just felt that they were okay. Nothing special. I've seen both guys play better, which is why I rated them down. Stephen Archer did well off the bench. Looked like we're back to summertime, warm weather Stephen Archer, which is always great to see. Jack O'Donoghue, Ruan Quinn did well. Ethan Cocklin I gave 2 stars, as I did Shane McCarthy. I felt they both had some errors in defence, which again I know both guys can play better than what they did. Tony Butler gave 3 stars as well. He was kind of floating around there, because normally when a fella comes off the bench they start at 3 stars. I take away a star for mistakes I see or whatever else. Tony Butler didn't really have much to do, so yeah, did well. Did well with what he had to do, which was very little. So that in itself is a positive. So yeah, overall, lots to like about the performance. Coming away with a bonus point win from a tough place to go against the Ospreys. Again, that's valuable. There are teams who will go to the Swansea.com stadium this season. They won't get that. They won't get a bonus point win. And we did well to come out of there with it. Move on. Next game, Cardiff. Then we're into Europe. Then we're into that end of the, we're into the running. 4 games to go. After we play Cardiff, there are 4 games left, and that's when everything will shake out. But for now, for this game, exactly what we wanted. Not exactly how we thought it would be, but effective, because it was a deliberate plan concocted in the off, in the downtime, that worked perfectly and made sure that what happened against Glasgow last season with the exact same circumstances didn't happen here. And now we've got an extra week of training, a game, the match sharpness that we've banked for it, and guys to come back in. So we're all on for Thomond Park. Big win, and we're right where we need to be. Even a regular win, we'll be right where we need to be against a dangerous opponent in Cardiff. But it's right there for us. And we're, at the moment, back on track. I'll talk to you again later in the week.